There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Thank you very much indeed for your company this afternoon. You're listening to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from Barasti, up here on the rooftop garden down here at Barasti. And a good crowd in already for an afternoon, an evening of sporting intrigue. In fact, there is sport already. Let's get to the latest from the early kickoffs in Spain, the championship, and of course Scotland. Chris McCarty?
Yeah, we'll start in Spain if we can, Tom, where it remains a bit of a shock. This Eibar 1, Real Madrid 0. We are 5 minutes into the second half, so 40 minutes for Real Madrid to turn this around. They've had a disappointing, dismal, some would say, start to the campaign. Santiago Solari now installed as their new permanent manager. 4 wins from 4 as caretaker boss. He's got to go some, though, to turn Real Madrid's fortunes around in this one. They fell behind after 16 minutes. They've not looked at the races. You can tell in many respects it is an early kickoff over in Spain. There has been an international break. Real Madrid, not their usual fluency about things, and they've got a big 40 minutes as they look to keep pace with Barcelona at the top of the La Liga table. No early kickoff in the Premier League. There is an early kickoff in the Championship, where it remains Rotherham United 0, Sheffield United 1. And I'll break away for just a second if I can, because oi, 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 Real Madrid's troubles have just doubled. It's Eibar 2, Real Madrid 0, and the picture there of Dani Ceballos, Thibaut Courtois at a loss to explain this performance. 51 minutes on the clock. There's the captain, Sergio Ramos. He's been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons this past week as well. We'll maybe touch on that in a little bit, but it's Sergi Enrich who has given Eibar a 2-0 lead. Karim Benzema, it's poor, it's sloppy from Toni Kroos. In actual fact, he attempts what you're always told not to do, a ball across your own box. He's done that, and Eibar, they've just punished him. One pass into the bottom corner, in off the post. A fantastic goal from an Eibar perspective. A horror show if you're a Real Madrid fan. It's Eibar 2, Real Madrid 0. Sheffield United, incidentally, are leading 1-0 at Rotherham. And up in Scotland as well, it remains Hamilton 0, Celtic 1. Ryan Christie on the score sheet for the boys.
Cheetahs taking on Benetton in the Pro 14 at the moment. It is the Cheetahs who trail Benetton by 7 points to 8. Sale against Northampton has just kicked off in the Gallagher Prem as well. No points scored in that one as yet. We're going to be live down to Abu Dhabi for updates from qualifying for tomorrow's Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix throughout the remainder of the show. And we've got your wrap on all things US sport in just a few moments' time, but also some special guests.
Yeah, we do indeed, Tom. Delighted to be joined on the line by a very special lady. I've been tracking this lady for the past 6 weeks or so because she, it's fair to say, is a trailblazer. Her name is Rima Jufali. Now, she became the first Saudi female race license holder to compete in the TRD 86 Cup down at Yas Marina Circuit in the capital. That was back in October, and well, she performed magnificently. She was in the silver category. She finished second and third respectively in both of her races in her category. I say she's a trailblazer, and I'm delighted to say that Rima joins us live now on the line from Abu Dhabi. She is taking in the sights and the sounds of the Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Formula One Grand Prix. A very good afternoon to you, Rima.
Hello, hi, thank you for having me.
Don't be silly. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Rima. I was just putting our listeners in the picture. Your story is quite an incredible one because you are the first Saudi female race license holder to compete in the TRD 86 Cup. I've got to take you all the way back, Rima, if I can. Where does your love of motorsport, where does it come in?
Well, I think it all started with cars from such a young age. I was very passionate about it, and you know, it was no running away from collecting model cars to remote control cars to go-karting. It was just, cars was always a part of my life, and then racing really did come later in my life when I was older and started watching more of Formula One, Le Mans, and that's kind of where I sparked some interest. And obviously once I got my license, I took some opportunities at different track days and race schools, and that's when kind of I caught the bug and couldn't really look back anymore. And yeah, no, it's great. I'm happy to finally be where I am.
Well, Rima, talk to us about the hurdles as well. Obviously, you're a Saudi, so there's many hurdles from that perspective. What hurdles have you faced in moving into the kind of professional, the genre that is the TRD 86 Cup?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was definitely obstacles. I would say, not necessarily just by being from Saudi, but also being, leaving university, having certain priorities, whether it was work or, you know, what am I going to do next? Shall I pursue this now, or shall I, you know, put work and professionalism, first? And then finally, obviously, like growing up in Saudi, I didn't really have that opportunity to pursue, whether it's go-karting or even just driving. So that obviously wasn't available to me, but that didn't stop me. Of course, every chance I did get, when I was abroad, whether it was go-karting or, you know, driving, all that. But yeah, I think in terms of obstacles, it's more of, I think, with a stage in my life that I was kind of deciding what to do next, where am I headed, and actually coming back to Saudi is what made me start racing. So before that, I was in the UK working, and when I was there, it was, you know, from one thing to the next, didn't really have time to think about my passion. But once things slowed down a little bit, coming back home, having more things in my control, I was able to really think about what I wanted to do and what I wanted to get out of it. And that's when the opportunities kind of opened up for me. It was thankfully like very surprising and smooth in the way it happened. So I really did take it as a sign that I'm on the right track and I'm, you know, doing what I love or pursuing my passion is the right way to go. So it took a while to get here, but I'm here now.
Still a long way to go, but very much still at the infancy of your career, but you're doing wonderful things. And I was reading as well, Rima, you've got to confirm if this is true or not, that it was a chance meeting with Susie Wolf, who is, of course, the wife of Toto Wolf, the technical director of Mercedes, but a fine racing driver in her own right as well. A chance meeting with her at the Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix last year, I believe it was?
Yeah. So she was definitely someone who sparked kind of, if you like, the domino effect of me starting racing. I met her through a mutual friend. I was connected with her, and we spoke about many different things, and part of it was racing. And she did put me in contact with a few people that I could speak to and that can run things by. She was definitely had to inspire me and give me great advice. To kind of take that first step and definitely encouraged me. So yeah, definitely I have a lot to thank to her for where I am today.
And what about the reaction, Rima? Has it been an outpouring of support for you? Has there been skepticism? I mean, talk to us about that and the support network that you've got around you.
To be honest, there's coming into like the whole first race, my first time racing, it was all very I kind of didn't really want to think about everything else, but thankfully with the support of my family, everyone around me kind of really I was there and it was available to me, so that obviously got me there in terms of support. And then the reaction of after my first race was fantastic. I mean, I was like, to be honest, like blown away and quite humbled by the response I got, whether it was even actually on race day on the track, from the marshals to the clerks to my fellow racers to people who I didn't know were just there kind of chatting to me, encouraging me, praising me, and that's obviously only going to push me further. And even in terms of Saudi and Saudi population, everyone does have their opinion, and I'm sure there are negative, or not negative, maybe they have their opinions against what I'm doing. But in general, I'd say that it's all been very positive and very encouraging, it's very humbling, to be honest.
Well, you're doing a great job. You really are, Rima. It's a great story, this. As I say, we will continue to monitor your progress. Keep up the great work. And the last one from me before I let you go and enjoy the sights and the sounds of that F1 race down in the capital. What is the ambitions? I mean, for you, maybe explain to our listeners as well the TRD 86 Cup, exactly what that is and what your long-term goals in racing are. Where do you see yourself perhaps in 5-6 years' time?
Yeah, so I mean, the reason why I chose this TRD 86 Cup was because it was, what would you say, like a starter stage race, and it's the cars are not very overpowered, so you can really progress slowly into kind of, you know, in terms of your skill and build up from there. So that's kind of why I decided to do this championship, and also because it's in the region. Having racing against similar cars on the same level, like playing field, means that it's more about your skill and less about the car, which is what I wanted to do at first. But also, in terms of like my ambitions in the future, I think where I'd like to go in a couple of years' time would be the GTC Cup Middle East, the Porsche GTC Cup Middle East. Maybe would be the next step up. And then the dream maybe in like 5-6 years would be endurance racing. So joining different events in Europe, whether it was VLN or Le Mans, they're all things that I'd like to do.
Well, listen, Rima, good luck to you. We will, as I say, continue to monitor your progress. It is a great story, doing your bit for, not just for ladies in Saudi, but ladies across the GCC and around the world as well. Pleasure catching up with you. Enjoy the race. It is going to be a magnificent weekend. I'm a little envious that you're down there and I'm down here in Dubai. But for now, Rima Jufali, fantastic to speak to you. I do sincerely thank you for spending 10 minutes to catch up with you, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Have a lovely day. Thanks.
The voice there of Rima Jufali. You can follow her on Instagram, across social media, doing wonders as well. And the TRD 86 Cup, very much on the map.
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
We are going to get the latest from the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix in just a few moments' time, but before that, score update. This is interesting.
Oh my goodness, Real Madrid, the horror show continues. It's Eibar 3, Real Madrid 0. Eibar, no disrespect to them, but they are a bit of an unheralded side over there in La Liga. They lead Real Madrid by 3-0. Goals from Gonzalo Escalante. He scored the opener after just 16 minutes. We thought there would be a reaction after the break. Santiago Solari getting in to his stars. It's been the opposite. Sergi Enrique made it 2-0. Kike has made it 3-0 after 57 minutes. 65 minutes on the clock now. Real Madrid look dead and buried. They look as if they look devoid of ideas.
We're watching it, and they're just there's no idea.
None. Absolutely that. There's absolutely no clue there, no method to what's been produced on the field there, and Eibar lead by 3-0. That is astonishing. Santiago Solari, given a permanent contract a couple of weeks back after 4 wins, as I keep repeating, 4 wins from 4, first manager to do that in their 116-year history, and they have been they've been outfought, they've been out-tacticked, they've been out everything today. They really have Real Madrid. Dare I say, they are missing a certain Cristiano Ronaldo. Perhaps a little easy to say that, probably a little lazy from me saying that, but there's no doubt about it. All things are not well over there. Eibar lead Real Madrid by 3-0.
We're going to keep an eye on that one. But as promised, time now for us to get the latest from the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
From Yas Marina Circuit.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
Live from the Formula One 2018 Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Swipe up to unlock all of the on-track, off-track and after-race action of the 10th edition of the hashtag Abu Dhabi GP.
The sun is setting down in across the whole of the UAE at the moment, which means that the racers and the drivers will be out there on course. Our man Danny Norton joins us live now for the latest from qualifying for pole. What can you tell us, Dan?
Well, yes, the first qualifying session has just finished, just a matter of moments ago, and I can tell you that Sebastian Vettel was the fastest man round this Yas Marina Circuit track during this first qualifying session, ahead of Valtteri Bottas of Mercedes. Lewis Hamilton was third, 0.05 seconds behind his great rival there. Here's a turn up for the books. Esteban Ocon from Racing Point, he was fourth, with Kimi Raikkonen in fifth. But what it all really means, though, at the end of this, though, is that five men are out of qualifying now. Those men are Brendan Hartley of Toro Rosso, his teammate Pierre Gasly, Stoffel Vandoorne of McLaren, and the Williams pair of Sergei Sirotkin and Lance Stroll was the slowest there as well. And a big cheer went round the Aston Martin circuit when Fernando Alonso, who of course has his final F1 Grand Prix, the two-time world champion, tomorrow, when he made it through to Q2, there was a massive cheer there. And I've got to say as well, there are so many Alonso fans. Have you seen his newly designed helmet and car for this weekend?
I've not. We've not, Danny. Talk to us. Tell us.
Okay.
What's
well,
he
he's
done?
Got like multicolored style helmet, and he's got like these kind of multicolored stripes going down his car as well. You can buy the cap, which has the same style, and I think it's got to be the best-selling item from the store down here because there are so many fans walking around with it on anyway. So all of them were cheering come the end of Q1 there to see him come through in 14th position to make it through there. And the other interesting thing as well, the fact that he's actually finished faster than his teammate Vandoorne again means he's done that every single race this season. The last time somebody did that, that's called whitewashing, by the way. The last time that happened was back in 2008, and it was by Nelson Piquet Jr. His teammate that season, it was Fernando Alonso.
Wow.
So just a little stat to throw in there for that one. Obviously, he's drawing his Formula One career to a close, at least for the time being anyway, tomorrow. We might see him back in a few years, perhaps. Who knows? But certainly from next season, he's not going to be back here. So looking forward to seeing how he gets on in the next race anyway. The interesting thing as well here now is the conditions are changing because obviously the sun is setting across the UAE. And I was reading before, apparently yesterday, in between the first practice session and the second practice session, which were happening around about the same time, there was a 15 degree drop in the temperature on the track, which obviously is a huge, huge difference there. So looking forward to seeing exactly how the teams adapt to that coming up to the Q2 and Q3, which are set to get underway very shortly.
You know I love a stat, Danny. That Fernando Alonso won an absolute belter, given the fact that it was he, as you say, Nelson Piquet Jr., back in 2008. Magnificent on that front. You were also telling me as well, we've been communicating on WhatsApp over the course of the day, mm-hmm. You were telling me as well, a little bit of drama in practice three?
Yeah, there certainly was. There's a few little bits and pieces going down in practice three. There was a crash earlier on. Let me just get down to rewatch it again. I've got it out in front of me at the moment. It was between Romain Grosjean and between Pierre Gasly and Romain Grosjean, where Grosjean kind of was going far too slow into a corner, and Gasly, who'd just come round the previous corner, couldn't slow down in time. There was a bit of a clash between them, but Romain Grosjean very magnanimous afterwards and going to the Toro Rosso garage to apologise for it. But there's certainly a bit of toing and froing over the radios. Then Grosjean eventually kind of said, yeah, that was my fault there, and that was sorted out. And we also saw a crash as well for Brendan Hartley as well. He lost the rear of his car, but they fortunately managed to get that fixed in time. But it wasn't enough anyway, because those two, like I say, are out of qualifying now.
How noisy is it down there? We can hear the cars whizzing around, Danny. We can really hear them actually whizzing around. Have you got the earplugs?
Absolutely. I mean, the funny thing is, you say that, and we've got our booth here, which is an enclosed booth, but it's that loud, it just kind of penetrates anything. You know, even our soundproof studios, I think, in Dubai Internet City might not be immune to it as well, because it's quite something. I went up, actually, and watched the first 15 minutes from the grandstand, which we are right next to here. I had a wonderful view of the finish line there, and the noise is just... it's something else. It's something to really experience, to believe it, and to get that idea. And it's all part of the experience here, because obviously you've seen these cars just whiz on by, but you hear them coming well before you see them coming, put it that way anyway. Just wonderful experience. So if you've not been to an F1 race before, I'd certainly advise you to try and get down at some point.
Well, Danny, you caught up a little earlier with the former F1 world champion Damon Hill, and you began by asking him for his thoughts on the season. Of course, this is the final race of the 2018 campaign, and whether it's been one of the better ones of recent years.
I think so. I think it's had a bit of for a few years we've had a fairly singular championship. You know, Mercedes drivers fighting it out between themselves, and everyone else picking up the scraps. And this year it's been, you know, three different manufacturers that could have won, and some good racing throughout.
So it's already decided as in the world title, the Constructors' Championship. How much does that change the approach this weekend? Or does the competitiveness of the drivers mean it'll just be like any other race?
I think there's definitely, I mean, sadly, you have to admit that a lot of the stress has gone out of the championship now in this last race. So it's going to be more of a celebration race, I think, for the end of the season. Long, hard season for everyone. And there'll be people keen to make a point and come out on a high. Maybe Ferrari, maybe Red Bull, you know, but Mercedes still looks strong. And if they can make sure that it ends the way it started, then you know, they'll have had a pretty dominant season. But next year, people are already thinking about next year. That's what's happening.
And talking of next year as well, what would be the one thing that you would like to see different or change for next season?
Well, they have this new regulation about designed to improve the possibility of racing. So that means getting rid of the negative effects of the front wing and disturbance on the overall downforce of the car in front. So we'll see if it works. We're going to find next year. Hopefully that would be a good thing if they can get much closer racing, or cars capable of getting close to the car in front through some of the tighter, to the longer, twistier tracks. Like the worst one is Barcelona, because the corners are long and relatively high speed, and cars just simply can't get close to each other in corners.
And just finally as well, prediction for this weekend, who do you think is going to emerge at the top of the podium?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably going to be Lewis Hamilton.
From the Formula One 2018 Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Swipe up to unlock all of the on-track, off-track and after-race action of the 10th edition of the hashtag Abu Dhabi GP.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8, live on location. This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Right, let's give you some score updates, shall we? Let's start with the rugby, because there is plenty of rugby on at the moment. Gloucester lead Exeter by 6 points to 0 in the Gallagher Premiership. Sale lead Northampton by 7 points to 5. Wasps are in the ascendancy against Bristol. It's 12-7 there. Meanwhile, the Cheetahs entertaining Benetton at the moment. It's the Italian side that are on top down there in South Africa. This part of the Guinness Pro 14. Cheetahs 7, Benetton 15. We're getting ready for Italy against New Zealand. That one is getting underway 6 p.m. local time. What's happening in the football? Chris McCarty.
Well, there's only one place to start, Tom. That is over in Spain, because a huge shock, not just brewing, I think officially, has been had over in Spain, because it is Eibar 3, Real Madrid 0. And we were just remarking off air, yes, okay, Real Madrid came a cropper against Barcelona. They were outfought in that one for the first 45 minutes. They did have a wonderful 25-minute period in that game. They were beaten by 5-1. But I cannot recall the last time that I've seen Real Madrid just absolutely outperformed by certainly a smaller team, in the case that Eibar undoubtedly are. It's Eibar 3, Real Madrid 0. We've got 12 minutes remaining. Santiago Solari is up off his seat, the new Real Madrid boss. He is ashen-faced. He doesn't know what's going on. I don't think the Real Madrid players know themselves either. It is Eibar 3, Real Madrid 0. Quite incredible. Up in England as well. I say up in England. Over in England, it is Rotherham, Sheffield United in the Championship. It's Rotherham 0, Sheffield United 1. Mark Duffy on the score sheet there. And up in Scotland, it's Hamilton taking on the league leaders Celtic. Start of the second half there, where it remains Hamilton 0, Celtic 1. Ryan Christie, a man who's been in fine form in recent weeks, it is he that separates the two sides.
Should go stateside. Let's go stateside.
All right, let's do it.
Let's go stateside.
Yeah, why not? It's week 12 in the NFL. Hard to believe that we're already here in week 12. Some juicy matchups heading up into this week. The AFC North showdown between the Cleveland Browns and Cincinnati Bengals. Hugh Jackson, former head coach of the Browns, fired 2 weeks ago, picked up by the Cincinnati Bengals. He's going to be going against his whole home team, his old team, in Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati, Ohio. That game will start Sunday night at 10 o'clock, so look for this one. Andy Dalton and the Bengals need to get a win to help secure their playoffs chances. The Patriots will be taking on the Jets. This will be a battle of old quarterbacks. Tom Brady, over 40 years old, going against McGown, who's 38 years old, because Sam Darnold, the first-round pick for the Jets, cannot start for them. So the $10 million backup will get his chance at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. He can still pick up a ticket for this one. $55 at the door right now on StubHub. And then another big rivalry game is the New York Giants going against the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles, they have the Super Bowl hangover. They're sitting at 4-6 right now. New York Giants, they're doing a bit worse. They're sitting at 3-7. However, they have won their last two games, and their star receiver Odell Beckham Jr. came out and said that they plan on winning the rest of their games and making it into the playoffs. You have to love his enthusiasm at sitting at 3-7. A reporter caught up with him in the locker room yesterday because, well, it's the four-year anniversary of the catch. If you remember this catch, that it's basically considered basically the best catch of all time. One-handed grab.
Yeah.
And you know, nowadays people are trying to mimic it. They're trying to see if they can outshine. But this man did it 4 years ago today, yesterday. Odell Beckham Jr. gives us his thoughts on the big catch.
Today's the four-year anniversary of the catch. Do you ever reflect back about like how much things have changed?
I really forgot about it.
Yeah.
No, honestly, anytime some one-hand catch comes up, anything happens comes up, and you know, you hear the talks, and you know, it's funny when people are like, "Oh, he's only this one-hand catch," and blah blah blah. But yet, anytime a catch happens, I'm compared to it. So it was a moment that obviously changed my life forever, for better, for worse, whatever you want to call it. It changed my life. So there's no way that I can ever forget about that moment. I can tell you, I mean, I remember the smell of the stadium, you know, I remember it all. So it's a very, very special moment.
Do you like being the standard against which all great catches are compared against? Because that's kind of what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's bittersweet, you know, because I think my career is much more than one catch. But it was just a very iconic moment. It was just a very prolific moment in my career. So I don't mind getting tagged on Instagram, seeing a bunch of nice catches. It kind of gives me motivation to do something crazier.
Odell Beckham Jr. of the New York Giants there. New York Giants have a two-game win streak heading into the game against Philadelphia. This will be played in Philadelphia. Well, it was on Thursday, November 22nd. It was Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving from here, us at the Grill, to you. And that means there was Thanksgiving football. So let's recap some of the games. The most important game, I look at this game, is a rivalry game. The New Orleans Saints taking on the Atlanta Falcons in NOLA. Drew Brees comes out firing. He's just an ageless wonder. 39 years old, just keeps firing touchdown after touchdown. Four TDs in this one. They defeat the Falcons 31-17. After the game, Drew Brees likes the way his team's heading.
Listen, when defense plays like that, and you know we're getting 5 yards of rush like we did today. Man, those are all great things, you know. And so, for me as a quarterback, it's still about, you know, managing the game in the best way that I can. And you know, if opportunities for big plays, we make them. Convert third downs, we got to possess the ball so we can, you know, put together good drives, go score points, and play that complementary brand of football.
Well, they're playing certainly good football down there in New Orleans, sitting at 10-1. They are probably one of the top five teams right now in the NFL. Sean Payton, their head coach, likes the way their defense has been playing.
We're constantly talking about, you know, improvement or going the other way. And I think you can think it and you can want it and hope for it, but you have to at some point demonstrate it. And when you do that, then there's actual moments where you can see a young player gain confidence because of maybe he covered a kick the right way, or maybe he you know, fit the run the right way, and then he believes he can do it, and he starts doing it over and over again. But I think that you know, we're playing better, and you know, we've still got work to do, but that's encouraging.
So there's always two teams, Chris McCarty, that play every single Thanksgiving. Always two. Now you always try to teach me stuff about your neck of the woods. I try to bring you stuff from my neck of the woods. I'll can you pick one of them?
I will go with, I watched the highlights this morning as well. They always play
every Thanksgiving.
Two teams
play every Thanksgiving. Not necessarily against each other, but they always play on Thanksgiving.
Ooh. 49ers?
No.
Damn.
Sorry, I'll give you one more.
Who else did I watch? Ah, of course, the Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys. America's team.
America's team. Storied teams, right? So Cowboys won.
And
the other one, another storied?
Not so much.
Okay, come on then.
It would be the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions were taking on rival Chicago Bears. And they fell short in this one, losing 23-16. Matthew Stafford went 28 for 38 in this one for 236 yards and two interceptions. However, he was beat by a journeyman quarterback, 32 years old, Chase Daniel, only three starts in his NFL career. And he proved that a 32-year-old journeyman quarterback can come in and beat one of the highest-paid players in the league. The new head coach, former defensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, Matt Patricia, does not like the way the Lions season has been heading.
Matthew Stafford, your quarterback's played today. How would you assess that?
I think I'm always going to start with myself first, and we'll go back and take a look at it, you know, me and the coaches, and see if we can do a better job getting him ready to go. And, you know, I don't really can't really make a comment on that until we go back and watch it. But I think overall, you know, as a team, look, we lost, so we all got to do a better job. You know, every single one of us, there's plays in there that we all can do better that would have helped us win. So that's the bottom line.
You have to love this as a sports fan, this story, Chris McCarty. This guy named Chase Daniel comes in. He's the second-string quarterback for the Chicago Bears. His whole entire career, he's been a second-string quarterback. He's been in the league now for 10 years, coming out of the University of Missouri. But even as a second-string quarterback, if you're in the league for 10 years, you probably at least have a dozen starts under your belt. And he's just never got the opportunity, but coaches always praise what he did in the film room, always praise what he did on the practice field. And he comes in the nationally televised game and plays lights out.
He certainly did. I watched the highlights today, this morning, Ross, and a small guy, quite a diminutive guy, is Chase Daniels, but throws the ball beautifully. He did have an interception, but he bounced back from it. Of course, quarterbacks, interceptions are nothing new. You've got to get over them. They happen. I've got to say, though, Stafford, for me, and you're right to point out, he is one of the top five highest paid NFL players.
Yes, he is.
I've not seen one piece, and I appreciate, Ross, you watch an awful lot more of NFL than I do, but I've watched an awful lot of it this year in particular. I've been interested to see how Patricia would do, given the fact his Patriots connections. Stafford, not for me. Not for me at all.
Detroit's had a big problem with consistency with him. One day you get a guy that looks like he's a top five player, and the other day he comes out and he just looks murky, and that's certainly how he played on Thanksgiving. I will correct you, though. Chase Daniel actually threw two touchdowns, no interceptions in that game.
He
did play quite well. And you have to just feel for this guy. How can't you root for someone like this? After the game, he was ecstatic about the win.
Well, like I said, on a short week on the road on Thanksgiving in the division to win a game, it's a tough-fought game. You knew it was going to be a tough-fought game coming into it. It wasn't going to be a blowout like last time. I mean, that was not even on our minds. They are a heck of a team. They showed it last week against Carolina. So we were ready for a bullfight, and that's what we got. And listen, our defense stepped up those last two drives with two turnovers, takeaways. That's why they're the best in the league.
I love how the NFL has always been evolving since I've moved over here. Now we're seeing games played abroad. We're seeing games played in your guys' neck of the woods. We're seeing more of an initiative down south in Mexico as well. One of the greatest things now is we have three football games on Thanksgiving. Normally we only had two. The Lions are always playing, and the Cowboys are always playing, but this year we had the Saints and the Falcons also playing. But the Cowboys played in Big Dallas against the rival Washington Redskins. They won this one 31-23. Last year, Ezekiel Elliott picked up a big fine for jumping in the Salvation Army bucket in the end zone. Well, this year he picked up his quarterback, Dak Prescott, and he threw him inside of the bucket after he scored.
Yeah, I didn't have any plans to do that. I guess Zeke did. He showed his strength. I was actually trying not to get in there, but once he had me in the air, I said, I got to own it now. And I just figured I'd jump in there before I got hurt.
What impresses you about Amari and his ability, his speed, his route running? What is it?
I mean, it's everything. He's a premier receiver. He has it all. His route running, creating space, his strength, as we see, making the catches contested. But not only that, breaking the tackles. And then, as you saw tonight, the speed, just an open field, just to run away from people, makes him dangerous.
How much does that take this offense to another level, just having a guy like that who can do that?
Yeah, I mean, you saw it tonight. When he does that, he takes simple pass plays, simple 10-yard catches, and makes him go for 60. So he's an explosive player. He's only going to help this offense and help this offense grow all the way around.
More from Christo in just a few moments' time. I just want to get your thoughts on this one. It's interesting because we're getting ready for the England against Australia rugby game, 7 o'clock this evening. And some interesting comments from Eddie Jones in the build-up to this game. taking a leaf out of NFL and taking a leaf out of American football. Eddie Jones is obviously going to start Jamie George in this game against Australia. Dylan Hartley, who is the co-captain of England, is now being used, or it looks like he's going to be used as an impact sub coming on for the last 20 minutes. Jones believes that Hartley's influence off the bench can be a crucial element to England's success as the sport evolves. Jones saying, when Dylan comes on, he gives us more leadership, which is outstanding. And the way rugby's going at the moment, it's going more and more like NFL, in that the games are getting longer and longer. The periods within the game are more intense, but the breaks in the game are getting longer. Your ability to have fresh leaders on the field to communicate is just so important. So it's interesting that he's sort of taking a leaf out of American football and seeing leadership lessons that are part and parcel of NFL coming into rugby now.
Yeah, you're seeing this in many sports. You're starting to see certain elements of different sports getting pulled over into other sport, and you're even seeing personnel from other sports, leaders that manage teams, getting picked off and coming into other sport to see how it works. But you're always going to have the rugby NFL connection, especially with the NFL player abroad system. Right now, there's a Christian Williams. No, he plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's on the practice squad. He's a former English international. But yeah, you're starting to see a little bit more of a slower paced game, which in turn the sponsors will like, because that means that more people are glued to the television a little bit longer, so a little bit more revenue coming in as well.
You're listening to Dubai I-103.8, and we are broadcasting live from Barasti. They're all sort of going down here at the moment. There's party on the beach, there's action on the big screen, and we've got the final stages of qualifying for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. It's the business end of qualifying. We will find out in the next 10 minutes or so who is on pole, and Danny Norton is going to commentate that for us.
This is The Grill. Get involved with the show. Text 4001 or message us for free on the Dubai Eye Messenger app.
Rafael Varane is giving an interview after the game, the early kickoff in La Liga, and I'm assuming that he's... My Spanish isn't very good, Chris McCarty, but I'm assuming he's trying to make sense.
Yes.
What's happened in the last 90 minutes?
He's pulled the short straw, hasn't he? Everyone's ran off down the tunnel, and Rafael Varane has been picked up by this reporter, who is sporting a wonderful flat cap as well. More power to that man. But yes, if you are just joining us, the big news from a footballing standpoint, undoubtedly coming out of Spain, is that Real Madrid have been beaten. Not just beaten, they've been thrashed by Eibar. I say thrashed, 3-0. It's an absolute tonking in my book. It really is, especially against a side that Real Madrid were heavily fancied to beat, given the fact that they've picked up in form in recent weeks. But it wasn't to be. Eibar, from minute one to the last, superb. So they were with that victory. They've climbed up to seventh in the table on 18 points. Real Madrid, sixth. 2 points ahead of Eibar, and if Barcelona do go on to beat Atletico Madrid a little later this evening, a first versus third matchup over in La Liga, they will be back to being 7 points behind. Real Madrid, in 13 games this season, Tom, have now lost 5 matches. All is not well over there, and I don't think Santiago Solari, in the long term at least, is the man to fix it.
Two other games ongoing at the moment. We've got an early up in Scotland, haven't we?
Yeah, we do. Hamilton taking on Celtic. Celtic top of the Scottish Premiership. Hamilton currently 10th, and it's going to form as well. Celtic lead by a goal to nil. Ryan Christie, who has had a wonderful few weeks, as I say. He's broken into the starting lineup. Brendan Rodgers, starting lineup for Celtic. He got called up by big Alex McLeish for Scotland. He started both of Scotland's wins in their UEFA Nations League campaign, and he's come back from the high of two great performances with Scotland, and he has scored the only goal of the game thus far. And over in England as well, no early kickoff in the Premier League. There is an early kickoff in the Championship. It remains Rotherham United 0, Sheffield United 1. The goal scorer there, Mark Duffy. So Sheffield United, if things stay the same, and we've got 28 minutes remaining of that one, they will return to the top of the table, will Sheffield United, on goal difference for a few hours at least.
Udinese against Roma kicks off in about 6 minutes' time. We'll give you details on that one. You've got Juventus against Spal later on. That one is a 9 o'clock kickoff, and Inter Milan taking on Frosinone just after 11:30. 7:30 this evening. So plenty to look forward to there. There's games also in Spain, as Chris was mentioning, and over in the Bundesliga, plus, of course, Premier League. And we will be going to Talk Sport, won't we, just after the news, coming your way in around about 6 minutes' time or so. So we'll be getting our heads up ahead of Watford against Liverpool.
Watford-Liverpool is the big match. Looking forward to that one. 7 p.m. your featured match here on Dubai Eye 103.8. That's then followed by the big one from an English Premier League standpoint, Tottenham Hotspur taking on Chelsea at Wembley. But yes, we will be over to Talk Sport in about 10-15 minutes' time.
Right, we are. Let's get the latest then as qualifying comes to a conclusion from the F1 Grand Prix.
From Yas Marina Circuit.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
Live from the Formula One 2018 Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
Swipe up to unlock all of the on-track, off-track and after-race action of the 10th edition of the hashtag Abu Dhabi GP.
So who is setting the blistering laps at the moment? Well, there's only one man to ask. That is our Formula One Supremo himself, correspondent. He'll talk us through the final stages of qualifying. What can you see so far? Who is the man to beat out there on course? Danny Norton. That went well. We'll try what we can to sort out that link with Danny Norton. Maybe the noise has just got so much down there at the moment. Chris has had enough. He's jumping.
It's deafening.
It's all happening out there. We keep an eye on that one. I understand that from what we can see at the moment, because we've got also it in front of us, coming to the end of qualifying, Lewis Hamilton is setting some of the blistering laps and certainly has done in Q2. The end is near, though. All done and dusted for Fernando Alonso, 15th on the grid at Yas Marina tomorrow. We'll keep an eye on Q3 of qualifying for you in just a few moments' time.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. Let's just head back stateside while we can. We have a couple minutes here. Head to the NBA because the Minnesota Timberwolves are taking on the Brooklyn Nets, and they won in Brooklyn, 112-102. Taj Gibson led the way with the double-double on this one. He had 16 points and 11 boards, so things are starting to look in a positive direction with Tom Thibodeau's Minnesota Timberwolves. The LA Clippers defeated the Memphis Grizzlies, 112-107. Marc Gasol had 27 points, 13 rebounds in a losing effort for the Grizzlies. Grizzlies go to 12-6 on the season. Clippers go to 12-6 with the win. Detroit Pistons defeated the Houston Rockets up in Michigan. Andre Drummond had 23 points and 20 rebounds. 20-20 night for the center for Detroit. Andre Drummond been playing quite well for the Pistons this year. They go to 9-7. The Boston Celtics defeated the Atlanta Hawks, 114-96. And in Boston, Aaron Baines led the way. He had 16 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. And Jeremy Lin had 19 points, 5 rebounds, and 10 assists. There you go, Tommy.
Thanks, fella. Yeah, we've got all the latest from Yas Marina Circuit. Now, let's just stick with this, because we've got, 2 minutes left of qualifying?
Yeah, 2 minutes left. It's Lewis Hamilton, who is leading, as you'd expect, the 5-time world champion, Sebastian Vettel, second. Then comes the second Mercedes of Valtteri Bottas. Followed that, then, by the man in the Red Bull. His final race, let us not forget, in a Red Bull for Daniel Ricciardo. He will be joining Renault for the 2019 season in fifth place, Kimi Raikkonen. Then comes Max Verstappen. Grosjean, Hülkenberg, Leclerc, who will be Ferrari driver next year in place of Kimi Raikkonen, and then it's Esteban Ocon. News this past week as well, he does not have a drive for next year, so he will be the test and reserve driver for Mercedes. We're into the red zone, as they call it, into the final 90 seconds. All the major protagonists out on the track. Beautiful setting. Yeah, it really is.
It's great, isn't it? It's great for pictures.
A stunning track. The drive themselves will tell you it's not the greatest in terms of a passing track. It very rarely produces fireworks from a racing standpoint. I don't mean to be disrespectful to the race or to the track itself, but that's just the facts of it all. But in terms of an actual spectacle under the lights, the day-night race, it really is magnificent. And that Mercedes shimmering under the bright lights as we see Lewis Hamilton launch his assault to try and improve his 1 minute 35.295 second lap that he set. That is still the fastest. He's a man on a mission. He is looking to go one better, and he's down 0.067 quicker in that first section here as Lewis Hamilton looks to rubber stamp what has been another incredible year.
Indeed he does. Lewis Hamilton in the box seat at the moment. We are in the final minute of qualifying, so we're just going to hang with this one as all the main contenders are out there on the course with their outlaps, their final laps, as we get ready for the final pole position of the 2018 amazing Formula One season, and it is Lewis Hamilton, as he's done so often throughout this season, who is setting the standards that need to be kicked. But it's interesting, isn't it? Sebastian Vettel, I should say, is literally biting at his ankles.
Yeah, he is. 0.057 seconds behind. But Lewis Hamilton in that second sector has absolutely torn it up. He is going to set an even faster time here as Lewis Hamilton. Valtteri Bottas on track as well. And Valtteri Bottas has just gone even faster than Lewis in the second sector. So this is getting, well, it's going to be nail-biting all the way down. The time has elapsed. This is it for the boys out there as they look to end their F1 season, the 2018 campaign, on a high. And Lewis Hamilton there, you heard Tom Urquhart there. There was an ooh and an ah. You came mightily close to the barrier. Lewis Hamilton, though, will cross the finish line as he looks to go one better on his time, and he does. Half a second, for goodness sake, he has reduced his time. So as things stand, Lewis Hamilton will start on pole tomorrow. Valtteri Bottas, though, is crossing the finish line now. Valtteri Bottas, no.
New
he goes second,
well.
And it is a new track record for Lewis Hamilton. My goodness, what a lap. Sebastian Vettel, though, currently in his second sector, he is the quickest man out on track. Is Sebastian Vettel. It has been a season of disappointment for the German. He too, a four-time world champion. He was bidding to make it number five in 2018. It wasn't to be. He himself will do an awful lot of introspection, yeah, I'm sure, in that in the off-season, because he's made mistakes. Ferrari have made mistakes, but he is looking to go out with a bang. Here he is then, final corner for Sebastian Vettel as he looks to knock Lewis Hamilton off of pole for tomorrow's Abu Dhabi Etihad Airways Grand Prix, and he does not do it. Sebastian Vettel will start third. It is a Mercedes 1-2. Damien Reid, if you're listening, my man, you tipped it on Thursday. It is, and you see the fist pumps of Lewis Hamilton. He is delighted. He is looking to just put an underline under what has been another incredible year. He will start this final race of the 2018 season on pole. Lewis Hamilton, 0.162 of a second faster than his Mercedes teammate Valtteri Bottas, who it is a Mercedes 1-2 tomorrow. Then comes a Ferrari lockout on row 2. Sebastian Vettel third, Kimi Raikkonen fourth, and then lo and behold, a Red Bull lockout on row 3. It is Daniel Ricciardo out qualifying his teammate for the last time, Max Verstappen. Then comes Grosjean, then Leclerc, Ocon, and Hülkenberg will start in 10th. The big story, though, Lewis Hamilton on pole for tomorrow's Etihad Airways Abu Dhabi Formula One Grand Prix.
Chris McCarty, thanks very much indeed. You get the nod. Danny Norton. Danny, where are you? We're going to expect
exclusive with Lewis Hamilton.
Exclusives. Get in there, Dan. He's coming back in now, right? We'll have more from Danny Norton in the final hour of the show. But stay tuned. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're down to Vicarage Road to get some team news ahead of our early kickoff in the Premier League. Oh, sorry, our early game, if you like, which is Watford against Liverpool.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.